Running down dogma with his karma. This is the Drew Marshall Show.
The bloodwood and the desert oak, holding wrecks and boiling diesels, steam at 45 degrees.
The time has come to save.
Folks, up next, in just a minute, Reverend Terry Jones. You know him as the Koran-burning pastor who was recently denied entry to Canada this week. We'll speak to him in just a minute. Well, the infamous Reverend Terry Jones was supposed to speak at the provincial legislature here in Toronto, but was detained and questioned for many hours at customs at the Windsor-Detroit border. And then eventually he was banned from entering Canada. And so to get all the goods from the horse's mouth, so to speak, that always sounds like an insult when you say that, you know? Is there another way to say that?
It's the other end that's the insult.
That is true. That is the other end. The one and only Mr. Reverend Terry Jones. Reverend Jones, how are you today?
Pretty good. How are y'all?
Pretty well. Yeah, the last time we had you on our show, of course, it was during the whole Koran burning stuff, and I thought, geez, I wonder what this guy is going to be like. And you came on the show, and I got to admit, at the end of the interview, I thought, you know, this guy, he's not a bombastic jerk, which is that's a good thing, I think.
Yeah, good.
Actually, your voice reminds me of a friend of mine named Ted DiBiase, who was the Million Dollar Man in wrestling. So if you and Ted DiBiase ever do a gig together, it'll be very hard to tell who's who, at least on the radio. All right, so what happened? You were coming to this rally in Toronto, I think it was, a free speech thing. You were going to debate an imam and somebody else, a Muslim activist. And what was the debate supposed to be all about?
Well, I think originally it was supposed to be a kind of a roundtable debate, concerning Islam. I guess they would be, of course, defending Islam, and I would be giving my viewpoint, especially of radical Islam and Muslims here in the Western society, and Muslims integrating into our Western culture, way of life, or constitutions. That did not take place because they were not able to get a meeting room. That happens quite a bit whenever I'm going to do a function. The meeting rooms are all not available because of the fear and intimidation that surrounds Islam. Even our hotel room there in Toronto was later canceled. And then, of course, the event turned into an event in the park. That would have been more of a type of open-air event, open-air speaking, where I would have spoken on... of course, the issue of freedom of speech and the issue of whether or not Islam is compatible to Western society. That did not take place, or my part of it did not, of course, because at the border there we were detained for, I think, a little bit over 5 hours. During that time, they completely went through our car, went completely through our luggage, took all of our luggage, our clothes, everything out of our suitcases, out of our briefcases, checked everything that we had there. Then they called in the drug dogs there to find out if we had any illegal drugs. From there, we were brought inside, and we were a total of 6 times in the detention rooms, where we were questioned on a number of different topics and things, even the different places that I had lived in the States or around the world. And, then after that, we were denied entrance into Canada.
Okay, and if I understand things right, Reverend Jones, a couple of reasons they finally decided, that the reason they cited that you weren't allowed entry into Canada was because apparently, you were a missionary in Germany for 12 years or something, and you had an honorary doctorate from somewhere, and the German government said, oh, that's baloney, this is a fake thing, and did they kick you out of the country or did they fine you? I mean, what happened? They tried to do it. I know it eventually got overturned, but first of all, there's so many honorary doctorates floating around, and for a country to say, to get angry about it and then, I don't know, press charges or whatever, that just seems really, really weird.
Yeah, it does seem sort of weird. That's basically what happened. I was actually in Europe and in Germany for 30 years. During that time in 1993, I was given an honorary doctorate of divinity by the California Graduate School of Theology. The German government would not recognize that as an accredited university and said because of that, I was not allowed to use that title. I did use the title in Germany, and I was then fined for using that. I paid that fine and appealed the case, and then we won the case, and for the rest of my time in Europe and Germany, I was legally allowed to use the title. Believe it or not, I think that sounds like a pretty poor reason, but that was their number one reason for not letting me in the country.
Okay, and then the other reason was, I think there was something going down in Chicago. You were going to organize some protest outside a mosque, and you got in trouble with the mayor and the popo there. Is that right?
Yeah, that took place there in Dearborn, Michigan. We were going to do a demonstration there in front of the mosque there. They pulled us into court before we did that. They found us, a jury found us guilty of possibly breaching the peace. We had done absolutely nothing. We were actually still in court. The judge said that we had to pay a peace bond, of which we were not in agreement with. We refused to pay that peace bond. They then locked us up in jail, arrested us. We had, of course, done nothing. We had not breached the peace. We were still in court. They took us from the courtroom right over to the jail. We were in jail for a few hours, and then out of protest, we paid the peace bond, and we were released from jail. That case was also taken into court later on and was also overturned, and we won that. But we were not involved in any type of breaching of the peace. This was just something that they thought possibly could happen, so they wanted us to pay the peace bond, and as soon as I refused to pay that, they said, okay, if you will not pay it, you will be arrested. So, as I said, they arrested us, and then later we paid it under protest.
Right, right. Okay. All right. So, now we're clear about really the reasons that were cited about why you were stopped at the Canadian border and you weren't allowed into the country. Those sound like pretty lame-o reasons, and and I think, you know, suffice it to say that the real reason is they didn't want you here is because you are a fecal matter disturber. And you are putting maybe Canada or Canadians, more importantly, at risk. Maybe Canadians overseas, a diplomat here or there, if they see some free speech rally that it's taken place in Toronto on YouTube, somebody's going to get upset. And also, you were the guy that said, "Hey, there's this video out that's making fun of the Muslim faith and their leader and the whole thing," and you actually kind of promoted that video a little bit as well, did you not?
Yes, that's true. There was about a 16-minute trailer. We have contact there with the producer of that movie. The trailer we did promote. That is true.
Okay, so you're doing this because, if I get this right, and by the way, folks, I'll just let you know, Reverend Jones has agreed to stay on the line here while we take a couple of calls, which is very gracious. But if you turn into some kind of jerk, we will hit the go away button. So please be, thoughtful about this, because that's what we really want is some kind of thoughtful discussion. Which is, I don't know why people listen to this show if they want a thoughtful discussion. The main reasons that you're kind of sticking your neck out and stirring up trouble is this. Number one, you think there is a serious conflict with the Muslim faith and the American culture, the North American culture. Number two, you think that conflict also kind of bleeds into the whole issue of freedom of speech. Am I correct in summarizing the two sort of main issues here for you?
I think that would be exactly correct. Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, so, you know, people saw the Quran burning thing that you did, and they called it a stunt, and you're just wanting media attention, and... And listen, I've spoken to a lot of people over the last 10 years of doing the show who want media attention. And, you know, you're one of the mellowest media attention seekers I've ever met. And so for you to be pushing this issue at the start, I got to be honest, Reverend Jones, you know, I'm not, I wouldn't go about it your way. And maybe I don't agree with this side of the other thing. But at the start, I just thought, well, this will just kind of blow over. Well, it hasn't blown over. And what's now come to the forefront in this discussion, at least as far as Canadians are concerned, is there any correlation between Reverend Terry Jones, the Koran-burning pastor, not being allowed into Canada, and Canadians wrestling with the issue of free speech? And I think there is a huge correlation there. You know, we always go on about how we want free speech, and we think everyone deserves free speech, and free speech is important, part of the fabric of our country, et cetera, et cetera. But then when somebody says something that they really don't agree with, then we say, well, except for you, you're not allowed free speech. And the problem with free speech is that I think what it means, really, everybody, if you really believe in it, it means even people you think are idiots are allowed free speech, are allowed to say, they're allowed to be idiots. Am I missing something here, Reverend Jones? Is that pretty much how you feel?
I think you're absolutely not missing anything at all. That's exactly 100% how we feel. Yes, definitely.
Now, do you have, and let me give out the phone numbers here, 905-338-1250, 905-338-1250, 877-JOY-1250, toll free right across Canada and down into the United States of America, 877-JOY-1250. If you would like to ask Reverend Terry Jones a question, maybe pose a comment, express your point of view, he's very graciously decided to stay here and stay on the line with you. Reverend Jones, can you explain to me how you feel as a pastor and how you feel as an American and what the difference is between those two things?
Concerning Islam.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, concerning Islam, let's say as a pastor, of course, I'm a Christian pastor. I believe in the inspiration of the Bible. I believe in the crucifixion, in the resurrection, in the blood atonement, in all of the normal doctrinal issues of Christianity. I believe truly that the Bible and Christianity and Jesus Christ is the only way. It would be my desire that every Muslim would convert to Christianity. Every atheist would believe in God. Of course, as a pastor, I believe that Christianity and Jesus Christ is the only way. As an American, then, of course, I believe in the rights of every religion. I believe in the First Amendment, which guarantees religious freedom, freedom of the press, freedom of speech. I believe those three aspects are the very foundation of a free thinking critical society. So in that sense, we have absolutely no problem with the Muslims or with the Muslim faith. They are welcomed here in America, and I assume also in Canada. They can evangelize, they can build their mosque, they can do everything that we cannot do in a Islam-dominated country. We only expect them to honor and obey and submit to the Constitution of the United States here in America, and not try to institute Sharia or expect special privileges because they are Muslim and desire to be governed under some type of different system other than the system that has been set up. And plus, they have to understand then that our system is based upon those three foundational stones, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and freedom of the press. So that means, of course, if they are here, probably their religion, their Quran, Sharia, and Muhammad will be criticized, just as Christianity is criticized, just as the Bible is criticized. That is the part of a free society, and they must learn to accept that. And if they can do that, then of course they are welcome here.
Right. Okay. Well, again, you explain your point of view very, very well. That's one of the reasons I had you back on the show again. I haven't had Reverend Fred Phelps back on the show, and that should show you that I think there's a vast difference between someone like you and Fred Phelps. All right. Well, I guess one of the main reasons that people would say, no, you should not be allowed into Canada is because they fear for the safety of Canadians. They say, you know what, if we let this guy in and he, you know, if he wants to do all that stuff down in his own homeland, fine. But to let him into our country and allow him to stir things up to the point where somebody might, you know, there might be a bomb that goes off at the protest down at the Parliament buildings in Toronto, or God forbid, one of our foreign diplomats gets taken hostage, and next thing you know, we're watching footage of his head being chopped off or sawed off, as I've actually watched these a couple of these beheadings. You know, that's just horrific, horrific stuff. And to be honest, it's not worth it to let this guy come across. It's one guy. Let him do that down in the States. It's just not worth him stirring that stuff up here. I know people are thinking that. And how would you respond to those people that are thinking that, Reverend Jones?
Well, I mean, I definitely understand that, and I definitely think that there is a time, let's say, to use wisdom. But at the same time, I think that our political correctness and our pulling back and our not sending a clear message to radical Islam has got us into the position that we are in right now. I understand those thoughts, but I think at the same time, freedom of speech is worth protecting, and we cannot allow ourselves to be intimidated, because where does that stop? Then do we shut down your radio program? Do we shut down the press? Do we start censoring everything that someone says because Islam or some other group might threaten us? I mean, once people realize that threats work, then, of course, where will threats stop? If they realize that they can silence me or you or the press by threats, then, of course, every group will threat. Will threaten. So I think we really have backtracked too much, and now it's time to go and stand up. And instead of silencing people like me, we should send a clear message to the people who are radical, the people who want to silence free speech, and say, no, we are not going to be silenced. This is part of a free society. You have a right, of course, to be insulted, but you have absolutely no right to acts of violence, and that we will not tolerate. We live in a free society, and we will support freedom of speech, whether we agree with it or not.
Okay, well said. Reverend Terry Jones on the Drew Marshall Show. We're going to take a few calls right now, Reverend Jones, and we're going to go to Diane, first of all. Diane, hi, thanks for calling into the Drew Marshall Show. You've been listening to Reverend Jones, have you?
Yes.
Anything you'd like to ask him or say to him?
Yes, I have a question.
Okay.
For people who follow Jesus, Jesus called us to love our enemies, love those who hate us, not wimpy, mamby-pamby kind of love. But, Reverend Jones, for you, what does that love look like?
So are you asking, Reverend Jones, if you're following Christ and you're all about the love that we're supposed to have as Jesus followers, then how could you burn Korans, or how could you speak out against this, that, or the other thing? Are you sort of saying that?
Well, no, I'm actually asking an open-ended question.
Okay.
What shape does that love take? What does it look like when you interact with Muslims?
All right. Diane, I appreciate your call. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Reverend Jones?
Yeah, I think it would look like, or does look like it does in our practices. As you may be aware of, I have been in the ministry, I think now probably around 35 years. We have had a lot of contact, especially overseas in Europe. I've been to many or to some Muslim nations. Our work there in Europe, we had a very, very large work with the homeless, with drug addicted, alcohol addicted. We were there in Cologne, Germany, which is a heavy Muslim city populated by a lot of Muslims. My children went to school with Muslims. We fed and clothed many Muslims there in our organization. So, indeed, I believe that love is a normal traditional Christian love, as far as kindness, as far as helping, trying to win them to Christ, and in the physical way, perhaps sometimes feeding people, clothing people. I definitely believe in that, and we did practice that, and actually still do. But I also believe in the prophetic warning, let's say. I also believe that there is a time, like, let's say, Jesus went into the temple and he threw out the money changers. When there was a new king of Israel, he would go up to the high places and tear down the thrones of the pagan gods. So I think there is a type of a prophetic warning, and that's sort of what we're doing. That's sort of what we feel is our calling. We love the Muslims. We love homosexuals. We love all types of groups of people. We don't love their actions or their sins, as we would classify it, but we love the people. And I think our thing is kind of like a prophetic warning, of warning society of the dangers of radical Islam, the dangers of Sharia, giving a warning to the radical element of Islam, and then giving, of course, like I said, to that warning or welcome to Muslims in America, that is fine, and they are welcome here. But we do expect for them to honor and obey and submit to the Constitution, and we expect them to change and adapt to our society, and we do not think that we have to change and adapt to their way of
life. Right.
So I think it's sort of like a prophetic warning or message.
Okay. All right. Diane, hopefully that answers your question. Let's go to another caller. Again, thank you for staying with us. We're on the line with Reverend Terry Jones, who is the Quran-burning pastor denied entry to Canada this week. On the line with Michael. Michael, go ahead.
Yes. Good afternoon, Drew and Terry. Hi there. So I don't... Okay, as a Christian, I don't think we appreciate it too much, let's say, if the other religions, especially Muslims, you know, burn our Bibles or things like that, or, you know, people in China. But are you giving, for instance, though, this here's my problem, the Quran, you know, one class of books, and the Bible, and, you know, a higher class, since they're both, you know, sacred books, you know, that would inflame, like, there was a movie a couple of weeks ago about Muhammad, which I haven't heard a good thing about it anyway, so.
Right. Okay, Michael, there's some bad connection with your phone, but we got your question, so maybe you could hang up and we'll let Reverend Jones answer your question.
Okay, right.
I appreciate that, Michael. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, so you heard the question there, and I think he's saying, you know, do you hold the Bible in a higher sort of rating or class than the Quran? And I think you would, because you're a pastor, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct. Of course.
Right. So, and then, of course, he's also saying, well, this movie, I haven't heard a positive thing about this movie. You know, why are you promoting this movie that promoted so much outrage and, I guess, fundamentalist insanity?
Well, I think concerning the trailer there, I mean, I think it's not only about the trailer, as far as I understand it, from what I have seen. I think the trailer is historically true. My studies of Muhammad, I mean, he did lead quite a violent life. He did lead quite a perverted life. But we have to remember, too, it's not only about, let's say that trailer or the accuracy of that. It's also about the right to express your opinion. And I think that's mainly what it's about.
Yeah. I mean, you would have to agree with me, Reverend Jones. It's a shocker of a movie. I mean, it's not exactly a high budget, feature film.
No doubt.
All right. Let's take another couple of calls and then we'll let you go. Thanks again, Reverend Jones, for staying with us. Patricia, you're on the Drew Marshall Show. Go ahead.
Yes. Hi. How are you?
Good. Thanks. This is Reverend Jones.
Yes, Reverend Jones. I think maybe the main reason or one of the underlying reasons why there was an issue at the border is because it's not even so much religion as it is cultural. We have become such a politically correct society, and especially in Toronto, that I think anyone who comes in with a radical viewpoint gets snuffed.
Yeah, well, wasn't verbally. I mean, haven't there been some recording artists who have been banned from coming in? I mean, wasn't there some talk about, maybe I'm wrong with this, but like even Madonna possibly being banned from entering Canada or performing somewhere at some time because she did something controversial? So we have a history of this sort of thing in our country.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. So you think one of the reasons that that Reverend Jones was not allowed into Canada is that we become a politically correct sucky pants society, and that's why.
Yeah, I think our freedom of speech is defined very differently than where it is in America.
Right, right.
In the U.S., that is held as a constitutional right, whereas in Canada,
yeah,
you know, we really don't think that much of it.
Patricia, I appreciate your point. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I think there is a difference. You know, the whole freedom of speech thing is certainly quoted and held on to a lot more in the United States than it is up here in Canada. We are kowtowing a little more than our big brother down below the border. Have you noticed that at all or heard about that, Reverend Jones?
Yeah, I definitely have heard that. I think that's a little bit of a problem in our Western society. We have become very politically correct. And I think we definitely have to protect and preserve freedom of speech, definitely.
You know, one of the things that people have said is, come on, you know, the Muslims here, they're the ones with the problem, because you don't see Christians killing people because somebody did something offensive to their religion. You've heard that before, correct?
Correct.
Well, I printed off an article that I found out about. It's basically this artist who took a picture of a plastic crucifix floating in a container of his own urine, and he called it art, and he won an award for it, and he won $15,000 from the taxpayers in the United States for having this piece of artwork, and I, you know, aside from it being just ridiculous, I don't know how people call that art, but because I could think of a lot better things to put in urine than a crucifix. I guess There was a reaction in Australia, and there were Christians apparently that were very upset, and there were death threats issued against this guy. Now, I guess what you're going to say, the pushback to that is, well, they haven't followed through. There might have been death threats, and it could have been some whack job, and we don't really know if they were Christians or not. But you know that when the Muslim fundamentalists follow through with this, there is a murder and mayhem. Is that fair?
I think that's definitely fair, because I think we see a very, very, very big difference. I mean, the basis of Christianity is, and of Jesus himself, is forgiveness.
Right.
And basically, normally, I mean, what we've had right here in our church property, people pull up right onto the driveway and set a Bible on fire. We've had all types of things like that happen. Our church has been vandalized, and the normal reaction as Christians is to forgive and try to forget. Where in Islam, that doesn't seem to be the case, and that doesn't seem to be the case in Muhammad's life. There seems to be more of a retaliation mentality than a forgiving mentality. Even Muhammad himself, on his deathbed in 1632, gave the command to his followers to cleanse the Arabian Peninsula of all non-believers. So there definitely seems to be two different types of foundations in these religions.
Right. Again, Reverend Terry Jones on the phone with us. And you know what? You have arrived at a very interesting time in our culture, in our society. I mean, I think we are at the apex of melting pot pluralism, and this is sort of what we desire in our country. But along with that have come some serious problems. And I think that you have just simply put a magnifying glass on these problems. So very interesting timing. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying I agree with everything you do, but I am saying the timing of you showing up and doing your thing is very, very interesting, especially with politically correctness sort of at an all-time high. We'll go with Peter. Peter, you are on the Drew Marshall Show. Do you think that Terry Jones should have been let into Canada?
I totally believe that he should have been led in Canada, as other Muslim leaders are allowed in Canada or in anywhere. But one comment that I want to make, and a question at the end, actually. I like Terry Jones. I appreciate his point of view, sometimes his approach, actually, how to highlight his point of view is that I really not comfortable with the burning Quran and all that. But the thing is, if that's the only way to get the Muslim world attention, then I think that's the only way, because that's how they're going to get noticed and Canada and throughout the world, that's how the issue is going to, you know, come in light.
Peter, let me ask you, Peter, if Reverend Terry Jones gets murdered this year or in the next 6 months, whatever, if he gets murdered, and we find out it's Muslim terrorists or Muslim whatever extremists or just, I don't know, some redneck whack job from the bayou. Are you gonna be sad about that? Are you gonna protest? Are you gonna be upset? How will you feel? And this is a weird question, but you know, your whole mission here, Reverend Jones, is all about free speech, and we shouldn't be afraid about the reaction of others if we want to protect the reality of free speech in our countries. And that might mean that you're gonna take a bullet in the head, right?
That's correct. That's correct.
So, Peter, if he takes a bullet in the head for this issue, how will you react?
I would say you are saying half of the prophecy. He might well get murdered or crucified or, you know, get bullet in his head, because that's what the Muslim world think. You know, they always try to use these kind of means.
Yeah, well, hold on. You can't say the Muslim world, and you can't say always, because we all know. Well, sorry, I know a whole whack of Muslims who don't dig this kind of reactionary stuff. So
listen, Drew, I come from a Muslim country. When you say you know Muslims that they don't want to do this, it's only up to that point when it push comes to shove, then they would ally with their brethren. They would not ally with you. You know, that's the mentality of the West, that they are a good Muslim and they are moderate Muslim. There is no such thing as a moderate Muslim. I come from a Muslim country. I know. I've been, I spent all my life there, and my relatives and everybody is back home. And my good friends, they grew up with me right from the, from the very early school years. But when they come to a point, they turn against me.
Right, right. So what you're saying is the Muslims in the country where you grew up, there's no such thing really as a moderate Muslim. That's only really those that have been North Americanized.
Yes, and right. When it comes to a point, they will join with their brethren.
Right.
Okay. Just one question.
Yes, real quick. Yep.
Pastor Jones. Do you see any fatwa coming from Iran or any Muslim country against you in the future?
Do I see any what?
Fatwa. Coming? Do you see a fatwa coming against you?
I already have.
I was going to say, you probably have about 30.
Yeah, I have several of those. I have about 400 death threats, and there's a reward on my life from two Islamic terrorist groups for $6.4 million. So, yes, that's already happened.
Now, is that American dollars or Canadian? Because there's a difference there, you know.
I think we figured that out in American dollars.
Okay,
yes.
All right, that's good. All right, well, Peter, thank you very much for your call. Thank you. All right, we'll take our last caller with Reverend Jones. Larry, you're on the Drew Marshall Show. Do you think Reverend Jones should have been allowed into Canada or no?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he should have been allowed into Canada. In reading about Reverend Jones on the papers, I was with you, Drew. I thought this guy is looking for attention. He's a rabble rouser. He's looking for attention. But, you know, then he went on, listening to him on your program, he went on to explain the love of Christ and how he takes a stand when it's time to take a stand. And he was very eloquent and beautiful, and I thought that's fantastic. But then I started thinking about this problem in Germany, where there's a law against using a title that was only honorarily bestowed on him. And then I start to think, well, why would you want to use a title that was honorarily bestowed on him? Now I'm back to thinking that maybe it was just for an elevation of reputation and nothing more than something that shallow. I mean, why would you get into that much trouble to put accreditation behind your name, which was only honorarily.
Yeah, that's a fair point. That's an interesting question. Reverend Jones, you were bestowed an honorary doctorate. The German government, the authority that you needed to kind of come under while you were there, said, look, not cool to have that. And as an outsider, we might say, well, look, as a Jesus guy, you should really just go, okay, look, an honorary doctorate title doesn't mean anything to me. You're right. I'm just going to lay it down. But you fought it. How come?
Yeah, that's a pretty good question. I actually thought myself whenever I received the title, should I use it, should I not use it? It was bestowed upon me for our missionary work there in Germany. The guy who instituted it, his idea was a very good friend of ours, and he was associated here with the California Graduate School of Theology, and he was the one who promoted it. He is the one who flew over to Germany to do the ceremony, and I felt as though if I didn't use the title, didn't carry the title, didn't fight for the title, then I was sort of saying, well, this is not important. I was downgrading the title. I was downgrading his opinion. I was downgrading what he wanted to do as far as to give me this recognition. I felt as though I was just acting as though this was not an honor. This didn't mean anything. Hmm. And so because of that, I felt as though I should fight for the title.
Sure.
I should use the title.
But you could have called the place and the guy that gave you the title and said, look, this is the situation over here. You know what? I really respect and thank you for that. But how would it offend you if I sort of dropped that title while I'm over here? And I'm sure your buddy would have gone, no, it's totally fine.
He probably would have. Plus, I just sort of had this thing about about being pushed around.
Yeah, I think we got that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I felt it was a legitimate title from a legitimate university, which also turned out to be true. Because we did win the case.
Right.
So, yeah, that's okay. Why I pushed
it. All right, Larry, no, that's a decent question. Larry, you sound like an ultra-relational guy like me where you kind of hear people talk and some people have good points, some people have bad points, but then you kind of summarize it all down to, okay, where are the motives for this person? And are they reeking of arrogance and pride? And that's a tell-all sign for me.
I'll tell you why I ask it. There's a pastor who splits his time between Toronto and Hamilton. And he was given an honorary doctorate, and now every piece of literature that his name is on calls him a doctor, and it drives me crazy.
I
feel for the students that put in their 10,000 hours that earned it the hard way.
Right, so this is a sort of a sore spot for you as well. And I think through that, I think the same. You know, if somebody in their alcoholic stupor would ever decide to give me an honorary doctorate, I would have a real hard time, walking around with it. That's for sure. Listen, Larry, I appreciate your call, man. Thanks, man.
No problem.
All right, Terry Jones. Listen, final question for you from me is this: It's got to be hard to draw the line between free speech and then when does something become hate speech? Free speech and hate speech. Free speech and hate speech. Is there a line that can be drawn? I mean, I know Canada is probably a little... No, I'm going to say we are ultra-sucky sensitive when it comes to how we determine what is hate speech. Everybody's feelings and, oh, my goodness. And for example, if I had a daughter who came out as a lesbian in her school and people were ripping her to pieces as being a lesbian and got to the point where this poor kid from British Columbia, who I don't think is a lesbian, but was bullied so badly she just killed herself after posting a YouTube video about how she had been bullied, I would be upset and I would want... I don't know. I guess I would look at the hate speech thing. Tim, are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know. And that's it's suggesting that you are a hate monger. But
or Dr. Jones?
Either of you.
Okay.
Well, you, yes, Drew.
Shut up.
But the question is, like, free speech, yes, but does that become potentially a vehicle for people to abuse it and just spew hate?
But okay, and sorry.
Where do we draw the line?
We're actually asking Dr. Jones this question, but I have another thought on this, Dr. Jones. We have had hate speech amongst us forever. It's called the Nazis that are still hanging around, right? The white supremacists that are hanging around. And you guys allow that down in the States, and I'm not sure whether we allow it up here in Canada.
We've stopped a few people. I had a former teacher who was removed from the system because of his speech.
Okay. So has society moved? Do they eventually just get pushed by the wayside and people ignore them and they're just treated as whack jobs? I mean, are they really changing our culture or is culture changing them? Are their numbers dying out? So, Terry Jones, free speech, hate speech, what do you say?
Yeah, I think basically after a while people begin to see that it's just that the rhetoric is ridiculous, and I think after a while they do actually die out. I think it's a very, very touchy thing, and I think that we do have to take the good and the bad, and I think we do have to protect free speech. I think the only way that we can limit it, let's say, is the old example of yelling fire in a crowded theater. I think that's the type of things that are not allowed. What that does, of course, is yelling fire in a crowded theater. There's a limited amount of exit places, and that could cause a panic. And because of that, people could be physically hurt and run over, injured, or perhaps even killed. I think that's the type of thing that we can stand up against and limit. But just simply speaking your mind and people being insulted, I think we have to protect that. And I think after a while, people begin to see through that type of over rhetoric. And I think example of that is perhaps the Westboro Baptist Church.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily hate speech. I think it's still classified as free speech. But after a while, people begin to look at that and they just say, okay, that's just sort of ridiculous.
Yeah.
And people just begin to ignore it. And I think we have to go more that direction than we do making laws to try to stop people.
Well, once again, Reverend Terry Jones, it'd be a lot easier to write you off if you were a bombastic jerk, but you're not.
Okay, yeah, thank you.
Great to chat with you, sir.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Short break on our show, folks. Lots more guests coming up. Lots more guests. Stay with us.
Maybe you've been thinking about advertising your organization on the radio, but don't really have the budget for a long-term marketing campaign? Well, what if we gave you a show? The Drew Marshall Show is currently offering an innovative advertising concept for the small business owner or charity. With web stats and listenership at an all-time high, Canada's most listened to spiritual talk show is offering you an opportunity to partner with us, one show at a time. Consider sponsoring one show and we'll introduce you to our listening audience for the day. Drew will mention your organization every hour during our four-hour show, including a live phone interview. We'll also post your logo and website link on our website for an entire month. If you're thinking about promoting a special event, product, or upcoming sale, or if you just want to test the radio advertising waters without a huge investment, then consider becoming a one-day advertising partner with The Drew Marshall Show. Go to drewmarshall.ca for details or call Joy 1250 on 905-845-2821, extension 367. That's 905-845-2821, extension 367.